آخر مرة شفته جيت لهون وقفت عم اجري لهم طبسني من هون ومن هون. قال لي أمي أنا رحت له بكفالة الله محمد انتبع حولك يا محمد. وكل عمري اركض لهون وقف على الشباك طلع لا دل اطلع في لي فلا يروح على الطريق ما جيت دلت وقفة عم اجري. بعد ما في يوما قال لي أمي سامحيني أنا ومحمد. قلت له لا يا أمي. قال لي محمد قول نط من المركب وروح بالمي. قولي هو عارف أخوه؟
عارف
عارف اسمه. قال لي ومحلف إنه ما يقول لي. قال له أنا برن له بس أوصل على قبرص أنا برن بحكي البابا.
إن هن إنه لقوا جثة وحطين معولم ولقوا بصيدة. كشفت السحاب عن بطنه لقيت الشطاب. قلت لهم هذا محمد.
قاش راح لأنه ما في شغل ما في مصاري. الدولة والرؤساء من المسؤول الله يهدهم الله يحرم من أولادهم مثل ما حرموني ابني محمد يا رب.
هذا كله من وراء الدولة. مين مسؤول عن الدولة الشعب؟ ما الدولة والحكومة هن مسؤولين عنه.
ما في أمل بهالبلد. طول ما هالرؤساء وهالنواب وهالزعماء ما في كل واحد مثل الوحش عم يبلع. ما عم يسألوا ما عم يردوا مننا الديمقراطية. من نمدة تجي
Lebanon was one of the first countries in the region to have a democracy. On papers, we are a democracy, but in real life, it's not that. Democracy has certainly been hijacked. It's a resemblance of a democracy. We live on corruption everywhere.
We have one of the oldest democracies in the Arab world, but the democracy is not functioning well because it's not responding to the benefits of the citizen.
We are in an era when a lot of people are angry. They're discontented with their leaders and governments for not being able to deal with economic challenges like growing inequality and declining social mobility. A lot of people are willing to vote for politicians who don't seem to have a lot of concern for those democratic constraints.
The imposition of the death penalty.
We're willing, when they come to power, to ignore some of the limits on their power. And making sure that that power is not abused. That remains a long-standing tension in democracy. I have been studying the development of democracies and dictatorships for much of my professional life. We're in a period of what some social scientists call democratic recession. Now, that has to be taken in context because what happened at the end of the 20th century is we had an explosion of transitions to democracy, an explosion of dictatorships that collapsed. Now, many of those democracies, not surprisingly, were quite weak, but saddeningly, what's also happened is that democracies in places that we took for granted, that we assumed were solid, that we assumed were no longer threatened by autocratic tendencies, these democracies have also proved to be much more vulnerable than we thought. lot of people make arguments about democracy being for sale or being hijacked. It's very hard for me to understand how we can have something approximating political equality with the degree of social and economic inequality that we have. Sort of tragic example of that in the Middle East, of course, is Lebanon.
I was born in the war. When peace came, we were hopeful that something good would come out of it. But we were occupied by a foreign country, by Syria. So we fought this occupation for a long time, until in 2005, when the occupation just left the country and this huge manifestation that took place on the 14th of March, where we actually believed for once that this was our chance to create a country. And then everything collapsed. The political elite just decided to cut the piece of cake and share it among each other. When I was at law school, they taught us what a failed state would be. I can tell you that we're definitely on the last tracks of reaching the failed state.
Lebanon was built as a safe haven for all the persecuted minorities in the Middle East. But the problem with the system, with this country, is that we couldn't build a system that answers the diverse society that we have in Lebanon. It's about having a diverse society living in a unitary system and the system not answering the needs of the minorities. In Lebanon, if you ask someone, would you rather have a leader of your group from your own sect that might be corrupt, or somebody from a different sect but you don't know anything about them, they would choose this one. It's mainly about identity. When we understand this, and we understand that the problem is within the system, then we understand why these people are corrupt, and when they come to office, they don't work for the better of the state and the citizen. They work for the better of their party and their group.
You have a society that's historically been carved up in terms of power and wealth by these different confessional elites from these different religious and social groupings, and it just becomes a kind of elite cabal to extract the wealth of this society and serve the different competing elite interests, but not the collectivity, not the society as a whole. Now, here in 2021, we are in the 15th consecutive year of democratic decline. Democracies fail for many particular reasons. They may be extremely corrupt and self-serving, with elites that are not governing well and serving the public trust. People get disillusioned with the ruling elites and parties. And when people see that the rulers they have elected are serving their own interests rather than the public interest, it's very alienating, it's very demoralizing, it's very infuriating.
People are supposed to be able to choose their politicians, and those leaders and governments are supposed to come to power and put in place policies that help make people's lives better. That is what democracy is all about. What we've seen over the past several decades is governments that have been increasingly either unable or unwilling to do that. So if we look at the trends of the last few decades, we can see some very troubling trends, growing levels of inequality, a sense that the future is going to be much less certain than we expected during the post-war period. And in these kinds of contexts, people are rightly angry.
People become vulnerable to the appeal of populist, illiberal, or authoritarian leaders who say, I'm the answer, trust me. And of course, then when you trust an authoritarian populist, things get even worse.
Another really critical political trend of the last decade is an unprecedented number of protests against existing governments, whether democratic or undemocratic, for corruption, for lack of responsiveness across the globe.
And I think more and more Lebanese are recognizing this, are seeing this, and wanting a new social and political bargain in the country.
October 17 was a turning point in my life. That was the chance.
People were fed up because the government, instead of thinking of reforms, were thinking of adding taxes. We want something new.
This is finished.
Go to downtown Beirut, to the square at 7 p.m. There were only 30, 40 people. And we started, you know, getting messages and people started coming. At 3 a.m., there were 40,000 people in the square.
For the first time, all confessions, all religious sects were on the streets.
It was individuals just voicing their concern and their anger against the government. The slogan of the revolution in Lebanon was, everyone means everyone.
Everybody needs to be held accountable for every action that they have done in this political system for the past 30 years. The first demand was for the government to resign, and the government resigned. And then we asked for a formation of a new cabinet of independent people.
We are going to not come out of the streets until the government steps down and a new government is going to come up, that they are professionals and they don't belong to any sectarianism, to any political association with any of the ones that we have currently.
They formed a cabinet, but it wasn't made of independent people. And the political class failed to give solutions. Until now, nothing happened and nothing changed. And we thought that we've reached hell, actually, that nothing worse could happen. Until we discovered that hell has layers. August 4th, explosion came in. We lost houses, we lost people, and we lost hope in the process of ever finding a solution to the problem that we are in. The third explosion in the world, apparently it comes after Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
you know, destroyed half of the city and killed more than 200 people and cost, I think, $5 billion in losses.
So many people dead and so many tens, if not hundreds of thousands, homeless as a result of bad governance, because governing really isn't happening. And the logic of rule in a country like Lebanon isn't to govern, it's to divide up the wealth and power of the country.
So it was a corrupt political class that had agreed to put massive explosives in the port of Beirut, and that just blew up. And nobody till now is held accountable for this. We live in that much corruption that even human life is not worth it anymore to those people.
It's not just that they failed us, it's that they are criminals.
I have an NGO, so when the explosion took place, unfortunately, we had teams in place for reconstruction because we had already done that. Because you have to know that in Lebanon, it's personal initiatives and civil society who does the work of what a state should be doing, because we do not have a state that helps us.
So هي الفكرة مثل ما كنا عم نحكي قبل إنه بما إنه الأولاد عم بيكون عنده صعوبة إنه يرجعوا على بيت كان مكسر وشافوا فيه كل هيدا التكسير. So الهدف كان إنه هن ينقوا وضنهم تبعهم. هيدا يلي صار.
صح 100% وهيدي كتير عم بتساعدنا الأولاد يكونوا محمسين بيرجعوا على بيتهم.
أوكي. So هيدا كانت الصورة قبل.
مزبوط هيدا وقت الانفجار دغري نزلوا صوروا ها هي الأوضة تبع الأولاد اللي عم نشتغلن إياها.
أوكي وهي كانت كتير قريبة على
البور. هن كتير قراب على البور هلأ منظر نشوف قد قراب ليك كيف صارت الأوضة.
أوكي يعني. وشو الأوضة اللي هن هنا؟
It's like you're entering in a tunnel where you cannot see the light at the end of it.
I don't think anyone hoped that at a certain point we would reach this bottom. Everybody in Lebanon is angry. Since the uprising in October 2019, when banks reopened and people went back to the bank, they had limits on their withdrawal. The second shock was the currency started devaluating. We had a fixed rate for the Lebanese pound. It was $1 equals 1,500 Lebanese pound. We are at $1 equals 15,000 Lebanese pound.
So today, we live in a level of inequality and poverty that has never been seen in Lebanon.
So we have inflation, price increase, currency devaluation. This is the economic collapse.
The more inequality we have, the less democracy we have.
Democracy says nothing about equality of incomes. It says nothing about equality of wealth, but it does say that everyone must be politically equal. Rather, the problem really is when social and economic inequality seep into the political sphere. There is no doubt that wealthy citizens have more influence over political outcomes than poor ones.
Those who are already very wealthy use their wealth to corrupt the politicians. So when you have concentrated wealth, the temptation of the extremely wealthy is to use their economic power to convert it into political power through lobbying and political control so that they can then reproduce their economic concentration of wealth, and you get into a vicious cycle.
Democracy does not succeed in the Arab world because we do not know how to deal with democracy. We have dictators. They're just people who just want to fill their pockets, who are thirsty for power, who want to oppress in order to stay in their seats. The Arab Spring was a hope for everyone. It started in Tunisia.
This decision of this fruit vendor in Tunisia, whose dignity had been repeatedly violated and humiliated by petty corruption by the police, to immolate himself. And that was the ignition switch, because it spoke to the sense of humiliation that Arabs broadly felt by abusive, monopolistic, corrupt authority. It's about two words, justice and dignity. Respect for them as individuals, which all of these Arab dictatorships denied.
The Arab Spring, this was really quite upsetting to people who study democracy. The hope was that that democratic wave had finally come to the part of the world that seemed to be most immune to it. But of course, that democratic wave failed.
These uprisings failed because mainly of the regional dynamics, that there were so few democracies in the region that there weren't others that could come to their aid.
The anger at old dictatorships was massive, but the ability to build new democracies was not yet there. Governments can't respond to the needs of their citizens. People lose faith. I think what we learn from Lebanon is that democratic governments have some legitimacy simply by being democratic, right? But if those systems are corrupt and if they are unresponsive, they will lose legitimacy as well, and democracy will not be able to thrive in those kinds of circumstances.
It's my last battle. This is the last time I'm gonna fight. And if this does not happen, I don't want to see my children fighting the same battles again, over and over again. The solution for me is for us people to start realizing that this is not normal. That what we're living in is not acceptable. It's not okay to accept that our leaders just are corrupt leaders, and it's fine. And this is the ethical crisis we're in. When we start questioning, it's when we start changing. As long as we're not questioning, we cannot change.
We still have some hope to make change in the country, but every day our dreams are becoming lower. Now our dream is if we can eat tomorrow, if we can have electricity tomorrow, if we can fill our cars with gas. So this is how much the country became a grave for dreams, especially for the youth.
السياسيين والسلطة وكل يعني الحكومة من الحكومة وأنتي وجير من الدولة للسياسيين للمسؤولين كله تندمروا بلد كله وأحلامهم كله لأنه ما في فرص عمل. أنا بنزل على الجامعة بصلي بالجامعة. كل ما بنزل على الجامعة أنا هي الصورة كبيرة بلتفت وبحكي شوفوا وأنا بجي بلتفت وبحكي شوفوا الله يرضى عليك الله يرحمك رحمها له وبترضى عليه.
أنا عرفت أنه ميت خلص البحر بيرد عليه.